And I hope you can say that wherever it is you go, wherever it is you find yourself, that Jesus leads you every step of the way. And as you're being seated there and you find your place, I invite you to take your Bibles if you have them and turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. This year, we have been in a series, really for the first half of the year, January through about June, July, on our theme that we have behind us, rooted and built up in Christ. And now here for the summer months, we kind of got away from that here on Sunday morning just a little bit, and kind of just saw some messages of encouragement during the month of July and August. But this morning, we want to get back thinking about being rooted and built up in Christ as we get ready to finish this year and finish it off strong. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by looking here at a series over the next few weeks or so entitled Flourish and Thrive. Flourish and Thrive. Now, when we say that, that phrase sounds attractive. Flourish and thrive. Because if we're honest with ourselves this morning, everybody wants to, whatever it is they do in life, they want to see it flourish. They want to see it thrive. They want to see it become a success. Everybody, no matter who they are, what age group they find themselves in, they want to succeed. They want to thrive. And the world, we know, spends billions upon billions upon billions of dollars chasing after this idea of success, of chasing after this idea of thriving. And you go into a bookstore and you see self-help books, health programs, financial gurus, motivational speakers, and they all, in one way or another, they all seem to somehow promise the same thing, and that is giving you the key to a thriving life. Here, most recently, as I scroll through Facebook, I get these ads that they give you this sales pitch, and then they close out. So someone asks the question, well, how can I do that? Or how can I know that? Or how can I achieve that? Or how can I lower my car insurance this way? And without fail, all of those ads, they end the same way. Click here or click the link below for more information. And, well, I never click the link because I know that's just going to get me in an endless loop of providing my email address and then getting myself on some type of mailing list somewhere, and then you'll never be able to stop them from contacting you. But all of these things and all of these people, they try and sell you on this idea, this key of having a thriving life and being a success. But here's what I want to ask us this morning. That is, what do you picture and what comes to your mind when you hear the word flourish? Maybe you think of a tree. Maybe you think of a plant that it's strong, it's green, it's planted by a river. Maybe you think of a person who they become successful. They have wealth, they have a career, they have family, they have respect, they have their health. And you look at that person, you think, man, that person's thriving. That person is flourishing. that person is a success. Or maybe, just maybe, you picture a peace of mind, a sense of purpose, joy that overflows a person. But here's the problem. And that is that the world's definition of success, the world's definition of thriving, the world's definition of flourishing, oftentimes, more often than not, it's built on shifting sand. Success today could be gone tomorrow. Money vanishes. Health breaks down. Relationships falter and fail. But when we get in our Bibles, we see that the Bible for us as Christians paints for us a very different and better picture. Jesus tells us exactly what the secret to true success is. He tells us what the secret to true thriving is. He tells us what the secret to true flourishing is. And it's not by chasing after the things of the world. And so you're there this morning, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And notice again, if you would, we'll begin at verse number 25 down through verse number 34, the end of the chapter. If you have an old Scofield Bible, you see at the heading of that, it says, "The cure of anxiety, trust in the Father's care." But verse number 25, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And I want you to notice specifically verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." For a few moments more, I'd like to preach us on this thought: thriving and flourishing spiritually. Or flourishing and thriving spiritually. Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And thank you again, Lord, for another day that we have to come into your house to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian it happens to be. Now, Father, as we gather this morning, we just pray that everything that is said and done would be done to your honor, your glory, and that you would come down and meet with us in a special and real way. We pray, Lord, that you would now fill me with your Holy Spirit, and may the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. Help me to say those things which need to be said. And help me to say those things or refrain from those things which need not be said. And the Father, now we just pray that if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, that they not leave this place without getting settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, we pray that you be with those that are here, that if there's someone that needs to hear from you, that they would hear from you this morning, and that you would just speak to hearts, comfort the heart that needs comforting. And the Lord, just again, meet with us in a special and real way, as only you can. And for all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so here in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the secret to true success. He gives us the secret to true thriving and to true flourishing. And again, we see that it's not by chasing after the things of this world, but it's, as he says in verse number 33, by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so before we dive in here specifically to verse 33, we need to kind of set the stage and see exactly what's happening here in chapter 6 up to this point. And really, from Matthew chapter 5, in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, we have recorded for us Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. And it's here that Jesus lays out for us the ethics of the kingdom of God. And he lays out for us as Christians how we as his followers are supposed to live. And in Matthew 6 specifically, Jesus addresses the things that often, more times than not, consume us. That often, more times than not, we give a lot of thought to. Money and prayer and fasting. And our relationship with giving and with money and with possessions and those things that we have. And then in the verses we read this morning, verses 25 up to about verse 32, we see that he is warning us as Christians against worry. He's warning us against anxiety. And he points to a various multitude of things. He points to the birds of the air. He points to the lilies of the field. And he says there in verse number 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought. That phrase, take no thought, comes from the Greek that literally means to be anxious, to be pulled apart. And so what Jesus is literally saying here, that as a Christian, hey, Christian, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't allow the cares of this world to pull you apart. Don't allow the cares of this world to pull you astray. And that's exactly what happens to us as a people when we're chasing after money, after materialistic possessions, after food, after drink, after the cares of this life. Anxiety, if we allow it to, can pull us in 1,000 different directions. And then Jesus gives us the cure to worry. He gives us the cure to anxiety. Notice again verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You notice here that the cure to anxiety, it's not self-help. It's not more control. Man, if I just had more control over my emotions, not more possessions. Well, if I just had more, if I just had more, if I just had the latest and greatest, that would take care of all of my worry. No, what Jesus says here is it's putting the kingdom of God first. So there's three things I want to see this morning as we think about flourishing and thriving spiritually. Number one, seek God's kingdom above all else. Seek God's kingdom above all else. The command here is clear, and it is a command. He says, seek first. Seek first. It means to pursue, to strive after. And in other words, this morning, it's not passive. It's not casual. It's not, well, I'll do that when I get around to it. No, it's an intentional pursuit. It's like a hungry man who is searching for food, or a parent who is searching for a lost child who is seeking to bring them home. They're not just sitting back saying, well, you know, I'll get around to finding that child when I get to it. Or, you know, when you're hungry, I'll get to it when I get to it. No, when you're hungry, you're hungry. You lose something, you want to find it. And the question becomes, well, what are we to seek? Well, the Bible makes it clear, as Christians, we're to seek the kingdom of God. That means that God, it's His rule, it's His reign over every area of our lives. Our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, our priorities, our finances, our time. It's Him who has control. It's Him who has the reign over us. We think of a compass this morning. No matter how you turn it, the needle is always going to point where? It's going to point north. And seeking God's kingdom first means that we orient our entire life towards Him. Our career, towards Him. Our family, towards Him. Our hobbies, towards Him. Our finances, towards Him. Everything falls into alignment when our compass points to the kingdom. If we are seeking God's kingdom and we're doing that first, everything else falls into place. And we don't have to worry about all the little odds and ends of everything else. We need to ask ourselves this morning, what gets your attention first when you wake up in the morning? Is it your phone? I know it can be our phone, because 9 times out of 10, our phone is on our nightstand right beside us. And so we get up, we put our glasses on, we grab our phone. For some of us, we put on the news, or we pick up that morning's newspaper. For some of us, we go, we get on the computer, we get in and check our bank account. Or if we have our phone, we check it from our bank account. Where is the first thing that gets your attention when you wake up in the morning? Is it God? Before you do anything else, do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you spend time with the Lord? What shapes your personal decisions? Do you worry about what you personally can get out of something? How much money you can get? How many materialistic possessions you can get? How many friends you can get? How you can advance in your career? What are you doing there? Or does God's glory shape your personal decisions? What you do, your decisions, do you think about God and God's glory when you make your decisions? And then what about when life gets busy? What drops off first? That time with Netflix? That time with Disney Plus or Hulu? Or last Sunday, the Eagles game started at 1 o'clock. I wanted to get home in time for the Eagles game. And then the church service winds up going 2 hours. We didn't get out of here until 1 o'clock last week. And then by the time you wrap up and finish fellowshipping and finish visiting with folks and talking, and then by the time you get home, they were well into the third quarter. And I go home, I turn it on, and well, you know, they're losing. So I'm thinking, oh well, I didn't miss much. They're losing, and then boy, they storm back and they won. But guess what? I didn't regret missing the first half or part of the third quarter because why? We were in church praising God and worshiping God and spending time with God's people. And so when life gets busy, what drops off first? Your time with God or that time with everything else? Flourishing begins when we make His kingdom our priority. Not an afterthought. Not when we get around to it. Number two, living in righteousness in daily life. Living in righteousness in daily life. Notice there again, verse number 33. Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he says there are three little words, and his righteousness. So not only are we to seek his kingdom, we are to seek his righteousness. What does this mean? Righteousness in the Greek is not just talking about a morality or keeping the law. No, what it's talking about is that it says that as Christians, we are going to live our lives in alignment with God's character. God's character, you have holiness, you have justice, you have truth, you have love. And so our life needs to mimic God's character. Does our life have holiness? Does our life have justice? Does our life have truth? Does our life have love? We think about some biblical examples this morning. Joseph, in Genesis 39, he chose righteousness when tempted by Potiphar's wife. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, refused to defile himself with the king's meat. And then Paul, in Acts 24 and verse 16, he declared, I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Each example shows us and shows people that choosing righteousness, even when it costs them something. Flourishing this morning, listen, it's not about comfort. It's about integrity. It's about obedience. Listen this morning, that means do we show compassion to the unlovely? Do we show compassion to those that are different than us? Do we guard purity when no one is watching? True righteousness. It's not just skin deep. True righteousness flows from the heart. It transforms us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we trust God to meet our needs. We trust God to meet our needs. Notice there verse number 33 again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, well, what things shall be added unto you? Well, the things of verse 25 through 32. Food, clothing, shelter, health, the necessities of life. Listen, if you're seeking after God's kingdom, if you're seeking after his righteousness, guess what? He is going to take care of you. Listen, he may never promise you luxury, but he does promise you sufficiency. You say, how do you know that? Notice verse number 34. Last part of verse 34. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And listen, that's why you open up your bank account and you look at it and you say, man, I don't know how we're going to get through another month. His riches in glory. You have more than what your bank account says you have. You have more than what you have materialistically. Listen, we teach the kids the old Sunday school song. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And yet, we open up our bank account and, you know, we see this bill come out, we see this bill come out, we see that bill come out. And man, all of a sudden we start fretting and worrying and we forget this verse. That my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He takes care of his own. George Mueller was a 19th century evangelist who cared for thousands, I'm talking thousands of orphans. And never once did he ever ask people for money. Never once. Instead, he prayed. And time again, God provided. Sometimes, bread would be delivered just as the children sat down to eat. And Mueller, listen, he didn't have much. And listen, you might not have much, but I promise you this morning, if you follow this scripture, you can flourish where it matters. You can flourish spiritually. And again, not because you have much. And listen, I don't think any of us in here necessarily have much when it comes to finances or materialistic possessions. But if we'll trust God completely, we can flourish spiritually. And so this morning, instead of hoarding or instead of worrying, why don't you start this morning by trusting God with your finances, with your health, with your future. Keep seeking him first and watch him take care of your needs. And guess what? In his time and in his way. And see, that's where we get flustered sometimes and where we get confused sometimes, because we all want things done our way and in our time and when we want them done. But folks, this morning, God doesn't work that way. The Lord doesn't work that way. He works in his own time and in his own way. But, and guess what? We might think, God, you're running late. You're running behind. God is never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. Just when we need him, he's there just when we need him. Now some will teach at Matthew 6:33. For instance, you turn on someone like Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen will teach you that this means that you're a prosperity gospel. That is a prosperity gospel. That if you seek God, well then he'll make you rich. He's the type of preacher that he'll preach Noah's Ark, and he'll teach that, the story, the moral of Noah's Ark is that as Christians, you're supposed to have a boat. And that's not what it's teaching. We know that. That's a misinterpretation. Jesus didn't say here that all these luxuries will be added unto you. He said all these things will be added unto you. The necessities will be added unto you. Others sometimes argue that Jesus' words, well, they only applied to the first century disciples. But the context of God's kingdom, his righteousness, his provision, that's timeless. That stretches from Genesis to Revelation to our parents, our grandparents right here into our day and age. And the same God who fed Israel manna, who sent ravens to Elijah, and who provided daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, is the God who provides for us today. Go over, if you would, Matthew chapter 7. And notice there, if you would, verses 24 through 37. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And so Jesus here, he finishes the Sermon on the Mount by warning us as Christians to not build our lives on sand. Because the storms of life, they will come. And the only foundation that stands is a life built on God's Word. Seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness is how, as Christians, that's how we build on the rock. And so here's the three takeaways this morning. Number one, seek God intentionally. Seek God intentionally. Give him the first part of your day. Give him first place in your priorities. Secondly, live righteously. Let your daily choices reflect God's character. And then number three, trust his provision. Believe that he knows what you need before you even ask for it. And believe that he will provide it. Believe that he will supply it. Because he will. He will take care of you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.